The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The world is more connected than ever before, yet research has shown that spouses and partners have never been more apart. Why has intimacy fallen out of favour, and how can reignite the passion that once existed? News Talk's Sarah Madden has been looking at it.
Scientists say good health requires it.
With your stress levels, help with your exhaustion, help with feeling isolated or a bit down.
Psychologists relate marital breakdown to the lack of it.
You become withdrawn from your partner and you become more agitated and maybe more angry.
But in an era of situationships and screen time, sex and intimacy are falling by the wayside.
It takes a lot of headspace to get out there and find someone and be sexual.
With younger people in particular having less of it.
If you have a very negative experience with somebody on your first or second encounter, it would turn you off intimacy.
Or none at all.
I decided to just stay intentionally single. I had like a long period of celibacy. I didn't really date.
So what's brought about this end of intimacy? Is it just a dry spell like any other? Or are we witnessing the dawning of a new era in affection?
So I think there's a lot of busyness in relationships now that there wasn't as much of in the same way before. When I say that, I'm talking about device use.
Emily Powersmith is a clinical sexologist and a psychosexual therapist who's worked with singles, couples and even throuples for decades now.
Losing hours on your device and really believing that you need to be doing that takes your time, takes your energy, but it also takes your headspace. So we don't have as much spare time to be just thinking, planning or fantasizing about being with our partners. And that's playing, it's playing a part. It is having an effect. There is absolutely a difference, I think, in how this generation are finding space for sex versus past generations. They just don't have as much headspace for a start.
Research indicates that up to 20% of marriages are sexless, though among the younger generation, it's dramatically more, with up to 50% of millennial couples having sex less than 10 times a year.
There's a lot more around perfectionism. It's vulnerable. It's scary to be sexual for a lot of people. Even when they're in loving relationships, that can get very, very tricky for them. I'm seeing younger people all the time who have real fear around entering a relationship. And that might even be a hookup. I'm meeting younger men who daren't risk dating at all because one of the reasons I hear is they're worried about being shamed online by the girls that they might hook up with, that rumours will go round about, particularly around the size of their penis or how long they last. They're the two main things that young guys are afraid to get naked because of. Young girls have always had that. We've always had the risk of being shamed by men. It wasn't online, but there's always been slut shaming. There's always been rumours going round about girls. So guys are feeling that now. Definitely, even 10 years ago, I wasn't meeting young men who were choosing not to date at all because of a fear of being shamed or bullied online.
This fear and isolation among young men may be contributing to the increasingly pervasive use of pornography.
What boys are presented with is this unnatural, unrealistic expectation of what their first intimacy is going to be like. And of course, that pressure, watching someone act something in a particular way, places incredible strain and pressure on a young person's mind about how they're going to be in that performance, and when they are intimate with someone, how they should be. And of course, there can be often a profound letdown when the reality of what intimacy or being with somebody is so different from what they've been viewing.
Dr. Richard Hogan is the clinical director of the Therapy Institute.
The end of intimacy, it's what I've been calling it myself, working clinically for so many years, because I sit with so many couples, young and old, who have got caught in pornography. When you consume extreme material, dopamine gets fired. And so the more extreme it is, the more dopamine. And so you have to keep going back to it. But here's the thing that most people don't understand is that dopamine is involved in memory production. That's a crucial thing. So when you get aroused, you go back to where you were, where you satiated that the last time. And if that's true, dark imagery, you're going to go back to that. And so you don't go to your partner. But the other point I wanted to make is that when you view something that's extreme, what it can often do is lead you away from your partner because you don't want to perform that with your partner. And so what I would see an awful lot, a huge rise in men seeking prostitution. because they want to act out what they viewed, and that leads to all sorts of problems, societal problems, but also when you do something that's against your ethics or your morals, psychologically it causes huge problems for you, and you become self-loathing, and you become withdrawn from your partner, and you become more agitated and maybe even more angry.
Divorce in Ireland has hit record highs in recent years. And while that can't be attributed to any one factor, Richard believes that porn use and its impact on intimacy is playing a role.
When you're connected with somebody, as all the data would show you, you feel supported. And so intimacy isn't just the act of sex, but it's the binding of the two people. It's the oxytocin that gets released. It's that connecting hormones, those beautiful feelings that you have. Those are so important. And I do think there is a correlation between the collapsing of intimacy and the collapsing of a relationship.
My parents separated and then they went through a divorce and stuff like that. So I definitely think that that put a lot of things into perspective for me.
Megan Bergen is the founder of The Girls' Room, Sarah Space, and the Substack blog Mask Off Meg. She's a member of Gen Z, a generation that research tells us is having sex and getting into relationships less and later.
A lot of people don't have their own spaces. I mean, a lot of us are still at home with our parents. Like, I'm still at home with my mom. That plays a role for sure. Dating is very weird right now. Like, you know, the apps, obviously, like Tinder and Bumble and all these things came about and it changed the dynamic of dating. And also there's such an instant gratification addiction in society that people are like, I have so many options and this doesn't really matter. And sure, dating apps are basically gamified. Like, it's like you're swiping on a game. And I think what I see from women anyway is they seem to be quite dissatisfied with their relationships, particularly with men.
But Megan says this is not an unfeeling, disconnected generation.
You know, when you say intimacy to me, the last thing I kind of think of is sex and physical touch and romantic relationships, because I've worked a lot on redefining intimacy and unpacking what that actually means to me. And I think now my priority at this point in time is intimacy with my friendships, intimacy within community, and intimacy with myself. And I think that there's a lot of like young women or even the younger generation that are probably in that same boat. And a lot of us, like, we're conditioned and we're raised to like pedestalize like romantic intimacy. But now it seems that people are, again, embracing platonic intimacy and community intimacy and valuing those relationships because they are so important in our lives, you know. So I think that's probably a big thing that I've noticed changing.
Intimate friends in other countries are making their connections official. Friendship marriages are gaining popularity in Japan, and they're increasingly recognised by society there too.
Like, there's a thing where people say platonic soulmates, and I do feel like I've found my platonic soulmates. That's how it feels for me. And like, I went through a breakup like over 2 years ago, and I really think that when I was really focused on dating, I didn't feel that same emotional fulfillment or wholeness within myself. So it's been so interesting to see how now my life feels full of love, where I might have been in relationships before and they loved me, but it just didn't feel fulfilling. I think that there's a lot of people that are in the same boat who have kind of made that same decision.
I love as well that there are young people who aren't over-sexualizing themselves before they're old enough and mature enough to handle it, because certainly that was what happened in my generation.
Sexologist Emily Power-White again there. Emily says a lack of sex or intimacy is only an issue if it's an issue. And she has advice for how it may be improved.
For couples, put your devices away for an hour a night and sit with each other or walk with each other or swim or play a game of Chinese checkers. You cannot create intimacy if you're not looking at each other and listening to each other. You can't. Don't expect spontaneity to just happen. If it isn't happening, it's not going to happen. And don't use rom-coms and romantic books or porn as your model for intimacy, because it is impossible to... Well, porn isn't intimate, and these movies and these books are fairy tales, and it's not what real intimacy is about at all.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.